We've known Robert McDuffie for some time, and also through his sister, Marjorie McDuffie Watley, who actually lived in Huntsville for a number of years and was for a few years the chair of the music department at UAH. Mm-hmm. So he's been on the series before. He has brought students from his Center for Strings in Macon once before on our series. And so not all of them are coming this time, but a number of them are. And this is something that he founded. Macon is his hometown, mm-hmm. and Marjorie's. And apparently somebody in the higher-up administration of Mercer University called him in one day and said, what can we do to put the music program at Mercer on the map? And this was the idea that they came up with, this Center for Strings. It's a very exclusive, 26 students total. It's like 12 violinists and 6 violists and 6 cellists and a couple of double basses. And it's a conservatory. Mm-hmm. And Bobby has said he hopes one day it'll become known as the Juilliard of the South. And because of his contacts in the music world, he brings all these faculty members in from all over the country. I mean, people who play with the Philadelphia Orchestra, the Pittsburgh Symphony, the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra. I mean, it's just a stellar lineup. And it's also unusual. You know, most conservatories, maybe this is a little unfair, but by and large, they don't really care much what you know as long as you can play, mm-hmm. preferably fast and loud. But in the case of this 4-year program at the Center for Strings, they really teach them a lot about the entrepreneurial mm-hmm. side of music, how to navigate the business side of that world and make sustainable careers for themselves. So it's really unusual.
There's a very interesting documentary that you can find when you go to the Huntsville Chamber Music Guild website, the mm-hmm. little 11-minute documentary where they talk to Robert McDuffie.
Right.
And it was now I was thinking, well, it's more, I think probably more like Curtis, maybe because of the way they waive the fees. There's no tuition. And the kids come from all over the world. You think, well, Macon, Georgia, it's not Atlanta, it's not New York, but they're doing something really special there. The kids that they interviewed were saying, you know, they could go to New York, they could go to Philadelphia, but mm-hmm. it's just so much easier to be there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they renovated a gorgeous, like, antebellum home there, mm-hmm. and completely renovated, and that's the sort of the headquarters of the Center for Strings now. And they've got a couple of concert halls in it. I mean, it's just gorgeous. They got $1.5 million grant from the Robert Woodruff Foundation.
Oh yeah, the Coca-Cola guy in Atlanta.
Yeah,
it's in Woodruff Hall where the Atlanta Symphony plays.
Right. So the last time they came, the whole bunch came, and they stood on the stage and they played all of the concertos in the Four Seasons. It was just stunning.
It was just stunning.
I'll never forget that sound.
It was something.
First play.
You just played the Chrysler. The program this time, which is tomorrow afternoon at 5 at the Trinity United Methodist Church, it's a little unusual in that it starts out with what you would normally think of as encore pieces, mm-hmm. like the Chrysler you just played. And it's just Bobby and Marjorie. It's playing piano for him. And then the other two pieces on the program are just extraordinary, just among the best in the traditional chamber music repertoire. There's the Schumann Piano Quintet and then the Mendelssohn Octet for strings.
Which I could not find in the music library. So if you want to hear the Mendelssohn Octet for strings, you have to go tomorrow.
You need to get a recording of that. To me, I mean, these are two pieces that are just of the absolute highest quality compositionally, and they're also both big crowd pleasers. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're so accessible, and audiences love them.
I imagine people love seeing Bobby and Marjorie play together, too.
Oh, yeah, which they have done an awful lot of years. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're going to be playing, talking about encore piece is this little snappy number by George Gershwin.
Thank you.
Was not Robert McDuffie or Marjorie McDuffie Watley. It was none other than Vladimir Spivakov with Sergei Bedrozhny at the piano. But you can hear it live and watch them interact. I imagine it's so much fun to watch the brother and sister duo and how they communicate, not through music, but physically, facially.
Absolutely. They have many years under their belt of playing together, so they know each other personally and musically very intimately.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's one of the fascinating things about chamber music in general is we love listening to the recordings, but you get to see the machinations behind it, how the humans actually create these sounds.
You do. And yeah, I've never known a string player who did not adore the Mendelssohn Octet.
Mm-hmm.
It's something about, I mean, it's for double string quartet, so I mean, it's chamber music. I mean, it has the intimacy, but it also has an almost quasi-symphonic feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
And string players just dig into it and love it.
I understand string players also really like the acoustics at Trinity.
They do. You know that story I've told many times over the years about the first time the Emerson String Quartet was here? By the way, one of the members of the Emerson String Quartet, Lawrence Dutton, is on the faculty of the Center for Strings. But anyway, it was the first time they came here, and they ended the first half with the Shostakovich 8th String Quartet, and as I usually do, I'm like in the back in the green room holding the door open for them. So sometimes when they come back and before they take another bow, I overhear comments that they make. And after they came off that, after the first half, one of them said, you know, that reminds me of the way it sounded when we played it in the Concertgebouw.
I've heard
of
that.
And I thought, okay.
It's not in Macon.
We have good acoustics. We have really good acoustics. Yeah.
And what I've heard from musicians, they just enjoy coming to Huntsville anyway.
They do. And that benefits our series a lot because they go back and they take their good experiences back to their booking agents.
Mm-hmm.
And so they think of us when they have other artists that they, you know, are looking for bookings for.
Mm-hmm.
And that word of mouth is just invaluable. Well, I know this is kind of an old story, but years ago we booked Itzhak Perlman.
Mm-hmm. I was there.
And he wasn't sure whether he wanted to take the booking or not. But again, Emerson String Quartet, his agent told him, well, they've been there. It was after they had been here the first time. Call them and see what they say. And he did. And they said, oh, it was great. Go. You'll love it.
Uh-huh.
So he did. He took the booking. So yeah, that all that word of mouth really helps. Yeah.
And you've had some just outstanding world-class musicians.
Yeah. I mean,
Itzhak Perlman, Emmanuel Ax,
yeah.
Joshua Bell.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so these people that are playing with the orchestra with Robert McDuffie could be the next big thing.
They could.
Yeah.
They could.
It's very possible. Based on what we heard last time, it's very possible.
Yeah, and I'm curious how, if you're a young musician and listening, how would you get into the Center for Strings? I imagine it's fairly competitive.
Well, it's only 26 students total, so I'm not sure what the application process is like, but it's rigorous, I'm sure. But, you know, another story, the story about Robert McDuffie that put him on his path to being a violinist. He's told this story many times over the years. He was 13 years old. He was a self-described determined but not terribly gifted athlete, but he had finally made it as a starter on his, you know, middle school basketball team. They were playing their arch rival the same night that a young Itzhak Perlman was playing at Wesleyan College, which is also in Macon, and his parents made him go to the concert. He was so furious. He would not sit with them. I sat on the second row just fuming. And then Perlman came out on the stage, you know, with his crutches and braces. He said, I'd never seen a disabled person take the stage like that. He said, I think it was the first time in my life I ever felt real empathy for another person. And then he was just fascinated by watching him play and hearing him play. He said, after hearing him play that gorgeous sounds and the way his fingers moved on the strings and the frets, he said, I didn't care anything about basketball anymore.
So he started at 13. He wasn't a Suzuki kid or anything.
I don't know. But he was studying. He was okay. Because he said he hated to practice the violin before.
Well, that's
that.
Understandable.
But he ended up going to Juilliard and studying with Itzhak Perlman's teacher, Dorothy DeLay. That's a legendary teacher at Juilliard. So I don't know, all kinds of little connections here and there. But
and now he's back in Macon, Georgia, and you can hear these talented people performing. And they were once students. They're still students. It's an undergraduate program, and a lot of them go on to Juilliard and the Cincinnati Conservatory and to Curtis and to a graduate level studies.
They do.
These are young folks. And I'm speaking of young folks, you have an educational opportunity just for them.
We do. That's tomorrow at 3 p.m. in the same venue at Trinity Methodist Church. They will have an open rehearsal. It's free and open to the public, and you can come and listen to them run through their paces and probably answer some questions. And we're not sure what else may happen. That's
I always enjoy this. My son played violin through high school, but that was one of my favorite things. I was just telling David and Ron that I wish I had a kid to take to these things.
You could still go.
I know, yeah. I could still go, but I can't ask dumb questions.
Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. But yeah, and students who come to the event, I mean, to the extent we have them available, you know, we give out complimentary tickets to students who come to the educational event.
That's right.
For the concert.
Students who attend educational get a free concert ticket.
Yeah. And it's an unusual day and time for us. Most of our concerts are Friday nights, right?
Yeah.
But depending on availability of artists, we sometimes have to change that. So that's why it's tomorrow afternoon. The concert is tomorrow afternoon at 5 and the educational event at 3.
Well, it's too hot to do anything outside.
Yeah.
So you might as well
go clap. So.
Yeah.
That's right. I woke up this morning thinking, oh, that concert's tonight because I'm so ingrained to the Friday night concerts.
Yeah.
And it's not. This is a different one. So we hope nobody shows up a day early or 2 hours
late
tomorrow.
Right.
So 5 o'clock tomorrow.
And you can actually buy tickets on our website. You know, it's www.hcmg for Huntsville Chambers at Guild. And it's .us. It's not .com. It's not .org. It's not .net.
What
it's
is it?
Us.
Us.
.us. Yeah, yeah.
And while you're there, you can check out that that documentary and see just how cute Robert McDuffie really is. Those eyes.
Oh, now we know why she came.
I got to meet him when he was playing with the symphony. In fact, I was late coming back to the second half of the symphony because I was talking to Robert McDuffie in the lobby, okay?
He's very down to earth.
He is.
Approachable guy.
It's so approachable.
Yeah,
my son was with him, and I was telling him that I was hoping that maybe he had inspired my son to pick his violin up again, and my son said no. And
that was that.
And Robert McDuffie said, I didn't inspire you. He's like, no. You're not helping, kid.
Oh, gosh.
But you can see Robert McDuffie, his sister Marjorie McDuffie Watley, who used to be on the faculty here at UAH. She's back in Birmingham, right?
They're in Birmingham. After 5 years in Montana, they moved.
Yeah, her husband wanted to go. How old are her kids now? Speaking of kids.
Those twin girls.
Are they in high school, college?
Yes, they are, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. They're just growing up way too fast. I forget. They're 15, 13?
Something like that.
They're teenagers anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is sort of a family
affair.
And
they'll be here too.
Good. Now, what about Mama? Will Miss Sue McDuffie
Mama's
be?
Mama's coming
with
a friend, and someone's driving them over.
So. Mama's also a very talented pianist.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, she won some Piano Teacher of the Year award. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think she still teaches in Macon. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Still does.
And to me, that's one of the another great thing about Chamber Music Guild is the family atmosphere. And you think about the composers like Schubert and the people who wrote chamber music, they were writing it for their friends and family.
A lot of times they were, yeah.
And you kind of get that same experience when you're sitting there at Trinity United Methodist Church where there's plenty of free parking.
Yeah. So we had plenty of free parking.
Well, and speaking of the Schumann, the piano quintet, that doesn't sound, you know, unusual combination of instruments to us now, but in Schumann's day it was. It was really the first major piece written for piano and string quartet. There's the Schubert Trout Quintet, but it uses a double bass instead of the second violin. So this is really the first major work for this, and it's one of his very best.
Thank you.
Ron Robertson, David Brown, and I were just talking, noting that on this recording, this is actually the Emerson String Quartet with pianist Menachem Pressler, all of whom
have appeared on our series.
Yes.
More than once.
Uh-huh. And again, like David was saying off the air, Menachem Pressler really digs it here in Huntsville.
He did. Yeah. He called up and wished us a happy new year one year. He played with his two colleagues one of the last concerts that the famous Beaux-Arts trio gave before they retired, and then he came back and did a solo concert for us.
Which was unusual for him.
He doesn't play much solo, or hasn't in years. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he did kind of raise an eyebrow when he first saw that the piano at Trinity is a Baldwin, not a Steinway.
I'm clutching my pearls.
But it is apparently an exceptionally good Baldwin, because mm-hmm. once he played, he said, okay, this is good.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, this is just the beginning with Robert McDuffie, Marjorie McDuffie, Watley, and the Center for Strings Orchestra. Well, what's next for the Huntsville Chamber Music Guild?
Let's see. What's next?
Next is the Vocal Ensemble Voces 8.
Oh, that have been all over Facebook.
Yes, which we're very excited about. Mm-hmm. And we first heard of them because the last time Chanticleer was here, one of their members, Blake Morgan, said, I'm leaving Chanticleer to go join Voces 8. And he became the first American to be in this all-Brit ensemble.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're coming November 10th. And if you haven't seen them on YouTube, look them up. V-O-C-E-S and then the number 8, Voces 8.
I'd never heard of them before this. But there's some really marvelous videos that mm-hmm. are online. And they are really extraordinary. They really are.
Yeah.
There are 8 members of the group, thus Voces 8. So,
I get it.
Yeah, makes sense. But anyway, they're quite extraordinary.
And then in January we have a return of the pianist Inan Barnaton, mm-hmm.
who's making waves. Yeah,
making big waves, and he'll play a solo recital on Friday, January 18. And then the following day, on January 19th, he'll be joining the Calidore String Quartet. And they'll be playing, perhaps, who knows, maybe the Schumann.
Well, you know, Barnaton just finished his third and final season as the first ever artist in association with the New York Philharmonic,
mm-hmm.
which meant he not only played concerts with them, but he was part of their community outreach mm-hmm. efforts and stuff like that. So, yeah, he's really up and coming. And, again, the Emerson String Quartet, the Calidore String Quartet, are proteges of the Emerson String mm-hmm. Quartet. They have sort of guided them and promoted their careers and this and that. So, again, with the Emerson.
Yeah, all these lovely connections here. And then February 1st, we have the Shanghai Opera Symphony Orchestra. Now, they won't be doing an opera, but they're playing standard repertoire.
Mm-hmm.
But they are the orchestra for the Shanghai Opera. And then the last two concerts, March 29th. Vincent Dubois, organist, mm-hmm. or Vincent.
Vincent Dubois.
Yeah, whatever his name is, yes.
We'll figure that out.
That's
we got
right.
time.
We'll figure that out when he's here. But he's one of three main organists at Notre Dame in Paris.
Wow.
And so, yeah, he'll be here doing a recital, a couple of recitals, actually. I think he's doing something the day after ours, I think, with a local group. I think, anyway.
Oh.
And then our final concert, we're really excited about this. So we're excited about all of them. But, and you know, next year is the 50th anniversary of the moon landing.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yes.
And so
the composer was here. He talked to Dory Nutt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Composer for
the new piece.
Yeah. Oh, the commissioned piece for the program. Okay.
I think there's a couple of commissioned pieces going on. So April 27th at Space and Rocket Center, under the rocket, mm-hmm. we have commissioned composer Daniel Pesca to write a piece for soprano and piano. He'll be playing the piano. Soprano is Allie Fees.
Oh, yeah, I know her, yeah.
You know Allie, a local girl made good in New York. And soprano Angela Brown will
be
doing...
Oh, my goodness. Yes. I have some funny Angela Brown stories. Uh-huh. I'll tell you off the air.
And she'll be doing a sort of a cabaret section about moon stuff.
And
Daniel's piece is set to moon-related poetry.
Okay.
And then Offenbach wrote this operetta called Voyage to the Moon. Uh-huh. So we're doing some excerpts from that. And what else? Is there anything else?
Well, there's a dinner you can buy tickets for that precedes the concert. Mm-hmm. Or you can just buy tickets for the concert.
That's
but there
right.
is a dinner at 5 or something like that before the concert.
I think so. So that's going to be fun.
But next year is also the bicentennial of the state of Alabama.
Always something to celebrate.
A lot of anniversaries. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We should just celebrate the fact that we get these world-class musicians right here on the corner of Airport Road and Drake Avenue and Whitesburg here in South Huntsville, that the Huntsville Chamber Music Guild is able to make this wonderful music so accessible to the community.
Yes. Yeah. So get in touch with us if you need to. You can email us at info@hcmg.us or go to our website at www.hcmg.us.